045, 1st of July 2012. Getting the Fire of God in Our Lives. Presented by Helen.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard of today. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings life. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll draw us closer to yourself.
Amen.
And that you'll truly set us alight.
Yes.
That we might shine for you.
God.
That we'll be that witness for you. That we'll have loads of testimonies. And that others too will have testimonies of you.
Yeah.
Because you're a great God. And we appreciate all that you've done for us. I have loads of scriptures earlier on, and I've changed the message about 3 times since we've got here. But that's fine, because as long as God's got something to say, it doesn't matter, does it? So we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. And ye shall seek me and find me. Well, I said verse 11, so I'll start at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Amen.
To give you an expected end.
Amen.
Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity.
Amen.
And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place when I caused you to be carried away captive. The verse that I was mulling over most of this week was verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
Not just on Sundays.
Mm.
Not just when you want your own way.
Not
just when you find that you've got a difficulty.
Mm.
But you'll find him when you seek him with all your heart. What are you seeking this afternoon? Are you seeking things for yourselves? And it's not wrong to want nice things. It's not wrong to want your needs met. It's not wrong to want healing.
No.
But ultimately, if we seek Jesus first, we seek him with all our hearts. It tells us in black and white that you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When we find him,
Amen.
We find out everything that we need. Because in him is all the fullness that God has intended for us. All the forgiveness that we need, all the healing that we need, all the stuff that we need, everything is in him. Everything that I need in my life is in him.
Amen.
And everything that I need in my life will be mine when I seek him with all my heart.
Amen.
Not when I decide, oh, I'm not doing that. That's all right, God, I know what you're saying, but I just want to... Just want an hour off. There's no hours off.
Yeah.
It's the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing, this.
Yeah.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime commitment, and it's a lifestyle commitment, and we don't get let off. If you join the Navy or the Army or the Air Force, you don't get time off when you want time off.
No.
You are under orders all day long. You might be on your free time, but if your sergeant wants you, he wants you.
Yeah.
You can't say, I'm not coming, it's after 5 o'clock, I've clocked off. If the boss says he wants you, he wants you. Even in the natural world, if your telephone rings and your boss or your supervisor's on the phone, wants to talk about work, you talk about work. Why do you do it? Because it's respectful. And if we're respectful to natural employees, we should be so much more respectful to God. The one that's paid so much for us. So when we seek him, we will find him, but we have to search for him with all our hearts.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28, it tells us that it will come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken off from our shoulders and his yoke from off our neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. We ask ourselves, what is that burden? Well, that burden is whatever the devil's put on you. Because God doesn't give us burdens. God takes our burdens. We cast our cares, we cast our burdens on him. And he takes care of them. So if you've got burdens, those will be taken away. And his yoke will be taken from your neck. And it will be destroyed because of the anointing. Notice it says that the yoke will be destroyed. It doesn't say it will be broken so that it can be fixed later.
No.
It says that it will be destroyed. So we ask ourselves, have we got burdens in our lives and yokes in our life that we need sorting out? And we turn to this scripture and it tells us quite clearly that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing.
Amen.
Anointing, what anointing? Isaiah 10:27. God requires us to have a change in our lifestyle, a change in our attitude at times, and sometimes, and very importantly, a change in our relationships.
Yeah.
And yet as we prepare for this change, we know that there's going to be a refining,
yeah.
pruning,
yeah.
cleansing, all the stuff that we don't want to hear, because it might be painful. Well, we don't want to be in pain. Life hurts. But God's glory in our life and his anointing on our life makes life worthwhile. It gives purpose to our lives.
Amen.
Sometimes since I finished work, and especially while I was ill, there were days when I would struggle to get out of bed. And then I didn't want to do anything. And that's not life.
No.
I was alive. But it weren't life.
No.
And yet as I got stronger and better, I started doing more stuff. And you enjoy life better, don't you?
Yeah.
When you're going through it, you wonder why. Why doesn't God answer straight away? Why doesn't God just divinely deliver me from this? Because I didn't know what was going on. Didn't understand it. Had no reason for it. And yet, looking back at it now, God brought me through it.
Amen.
He doesn't always say, that's it, you're free. Sometimes you have to go through it, and that's what we talk about when we talk about the pruning and the refining. Sometimes you have to go through things because they make you better. Like my dad used to say, what don't kill you, I'll make you well. But it's so easy to sort of get bogged down in the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
And you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And yet when I started getting better and as I started becoming stronger and started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, that also encourages you to take more strides, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So thank God that he's brought me through. Because as you also know, there were times when if you asked me to do a Bible reading, I couldn't do it. And I wondered if the day would ever come when I'd be able to stand in front of the congregation again and speak.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Amen.
And I've not cracked up yet. So obviously that's one yoke that's been destroyed.
Amen.
And so we just pray that God's anointing will remain.
Amen.
So it's not me that's wanting any glory, because if it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't be doing this right now.
No.
So now we're going to go to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. How is silver purified? It's in the fire. That's right. And how is gold refined? That too is refined in the fire. If you want to be silver and gold, and we all want to be precious in his sight, we have to go through the fire. We have to go through some stuff. The thing is, when we're going through this stuff, we know that he goes through with us. He doesn't leave us on our own, does he? He always comes along with us. And his purpose is to refine us and to cleanse us and to anoint us so that we can be useful in his kingdom.
Amen.
There's a lot of scriptures this afternoon, and I make no apology for it, because a lot of them speak for themselves. But I was encouraged when I was flipping through them, and I tended to write down more than I usually do. But if we can't listen to his word, we can't listen to anything, can we? The next one is in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, starting at verse 10. This psalm was a psalm of David after he'd been caught out with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan came to him. So we know that David had sinned. And yet later on in the Bible, God tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. God doesn't keep a record of your wrongs. Let's see what David said that may have enabled God to say this to him. Starting at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Hang on, Holy Spirit, Old Testament. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Create in me a clean heart. If you want a clean heart, the best place to go for it is the Creator.
Amen.
There's only God can create something in you. The devil will destroy things in you and manipulate things in you, but he can't create a clean heart in you. He can't even create a dirty one in you. All he can do is corrupt the one that you've got. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Powerful that in the Old Testament that David understood the Holy Spirit, that he knew the Holy Spirit. David lived in salvation before salvation had come. Obviously Jesus hadn't died at that point, but David had a tremendous revelation of God and what the future would hold. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There is joy in true salvation.
Amen.
It's religion that makes you miserable. Tradition will get you bored. If you're truly saved and you're truly walking with him, you'll have joy. And it's not just that you're laughing and joking all the time, but you have an inner peace and a joy that nobody can take away from you. So I was thinking about the anointing and the Holy Spirit. And it's really powerful, the work that the Holy Spirit can do. In the past, we've seen occasions when I think back to my younger days, when we were at Skendelby and Wentworth House, and the mighty things that we saw then, and the outpourings of God. And you ask yourself, where are they now? But really, that's not the right question. The right question is, when did my eyes stop seeking God? When did I stop expecting the miracles? When did I change? God never changes. We will be seeing miracles, we'll be seeing salvations, we'll be seeing baptisms in the Holy Spirit, we'll be seeing the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the lame walking, we'd be seeing miracle after miracle after miracle if we can grasp hold of the power that we have in the Holy Spirit. And as we said earlier, we witness outside the church. And we pray for people outside the church as well. Don't have to come to church to be prayed for. My next door neighbour doesn't have cancer anymore. Not because I'm great, because I'm not. But we prayed. We were saying earlier, weren't we? A few weeks ago again, Pauline had got a bad wrist in the office. And I was just trolling off. I was doing the important job of the day. I was off to put the kettle on. What could be more important at 9 o'clock in the morning than a cup of coffee? And she was saying, oh, my wrist. And I got to the door, and it was as if a voice said, and you're going to walk away. I thought, who said that? So back I went, grabbed hold of the wrist, prayed, said, does it hurt now? No. Right, kettle. But the thing is, the anointing of God should be part of our lives. It should be our automatic thought. Our thought shouldn't be, where's the aspirin? Our thought should be, where is my God? We need to become more alert and more alive to the Spirit that is within us. And if the Spirit isn't living within us, we need to do something about it. The Spirit is the one that gives us the power. The Spirit is the one that has given us the authority. The Spirit is who Jesus left so that we might be his witnesses. The Spirit is the one that helps us. The Spirit is our comforter. The Spirit is our guide. The Spirit is the person that we're supposed to be following round here. Amen. Not anybody else. Not some great mighty evangelist that you think look up to. Don't follow him. Follow him. Amen. Follow Jesus. Follow the Spirit. Follow God. Amen. These good men have got things to say. Some of these ministries are mighty ministries. Some of these evangelists are mighty evangelists. And I say, listen to their words. But don't follow them. Because you follow them, you listen to the message that God has given them, and you hearken to the message and you follow God. You do not follow after a natural man. God is the one that we follow. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 36. And he spake a parable unto them, no man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new makes a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk of old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. The wineskins, when they've not been used for a while, dry out. And the wineskins get hard and brittle. Don't throw them away. Hang on to them. If you've got an old wineskin, dunk it in water. And then rub some oil onto it. That will soften it and restore it, and you'll be able to use it again. Yeah. But if you leave it untreated, eventually it'll become useless. It'll become hard, become inflexible, and then it's only fit for the dustbin. Doesn't that speak about the way that we need to be with the Holy Spirit? If our oil levels are a little bit low, or if our oil's not being replenished, I mean, just think about your cars, gentlemen. If your car needs an oil change and you don't change it, what happens to your car? Does it carry on running well? Does the engine stay protected? And just like our cars need good oil in them, we need the oil of the Holy Spirit to freshen us up day by day, if not moment by moment, so that we can be responsive to the things of God. Anointing actually means to rub. So if you want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, it's like getting rubbed all over by him. They talk about going for a massage. Would you not like to be massaged by the Holy Spirit? Have the Holy Spirit rubbed all over you. And not only all over you on the outside, but all over you on the inside too. Because the Holy Spirit, of course, can permeate every part of you. We need the Holy Spirit to restore and soften us. Dip us in water. Get us baptized. Get us filled by the Spirit. And then keep being filled by the Spirit. Not allowing ourselves to become hard. Not allowing ourselves to dry out. But to be replenished on a regular basis with the things of God. And to receive his anointing. And it tells us in Zechariah that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's in Zechariah 4 verse 6. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. You might be strong and think you can weigh into any situation and nothing's going to defeat you. Nothing can hurt you because I'm hard. Doesn't count. You might be the king of a country. You might be in charge of loads and loads of employees. You might be the captain of a football team. You might be the chairman of ICI. You might be the big shot anywhere. But that's not power. No. That's not the power that's going to do it. We've got power in this room. We've got the electricity. But we've got a greater power in this room. And the power that's in this room came in with each one of us and can be built up and replenished, that we go out with a greater power than the one we came in with.
Amen.
And if we don't recharge ourselves, we only have ourselves to blame, don't
That's
we?
Right, yeah.
When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we always tend to turn towards Acts, don't we? And so that's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to go to Acts. Acts, starting at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Wait for the promise of the Father. We don't like waiting, do we? I know when the torch came through the village the other day, and people started walking up the street, and it looked as if it was getting a bit busy up the street. I'm thinking, oh, it's not here for another hour. I'm not going out yet. And all these people on the street an hour before the torch came through, and all that it was a couple of youngsters carrying the Olympic flame. All they were going to do was run down the road, light each other's torch, and then run off again. That's all it was. Yes, it's interesting. Yes, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And yes, I went to see it. But the question in my mind, when the torch arrived, which is just a bit of metal with a flame in it, they're all cheering and really. Hang on a minute. It's a bit of metal with a flame in it. Now, it does signify the flame for the Olympic Games, so yes, you can understand people being interested in it. But it's like Ken was saying later on. People have a need to worship. Not the football season. Not that Donny Rovers did very well. So in Doncaster, the highlight, something that they could all cheer, was we've been selected and the village has got the torch coming through. Hooray, let's go out and celebrate. And celebrate they did. But if you'd have said to them, an evangelist is going to come and he's going to pray and he's going to speak to you about Jesus, what would the streets have been like then? The streets would probably have been empty except for the Christians who knew this great named evangelist. But the people are not going to hear about Jesus unless we go out to them.
Amen.
Jesus isn't confined to this room. We need to go out and be different out there. And the only way we're going to be different is by having this time where we wait on him to fill us, equip us and send us out. Verse 5 says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from thence." You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Didn't say you might be. He said you shall be.
Yeah.
Do you want to be? The Holy Ghost was left, as I said earlier on, the Holy Ghost was the comforter that Jesus left when he went. He said, "I'll leave you another comforter."
Yeah.
So if he's left something for me, I want it.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. It's going to be my birthday in a few weeks' time. If people want to give me presents, I'm going to take them. I'm not going to say, "Oh no, it doesn't matter." If somebody offers you a gift at Christmas, you're going to take it. You're not going to say, "Oh no, I don't want a gift. Sorry, I don't want you to give me a gift." I want you to give me a gift. And I want the Holy Spirit to give me a gift. Because I want the Holy Spirit every day, and I want him in a greater measure, day by day by day by day, so that the power of God will see the village I live in transformed, will see the town that we live in transformed, will see the county that we live in transformed, that he will receive the glory, that we might live in a Christian country once again. But not that we get the glory, because we're nothing. But that he gets the glory. So that we turn the news on at 6 o'clock, and we get round to Callander or to Look North, whichever station you watch, and it tells you, it doesn't tell you about the latest murder or about the latest robbery, but it tells you about the latest healing, about the latest bad man that come to know Jesus. That it starts and tells you about signs and miracles. They're the news, that's the news I want to hear. I don't want to hear all this rubbish about who's been killed, who's been raped, who's been burgled, who's had a nasty escape, who's had a car wreck. I want to hear more about the Word of God. I want to hear good things. Why are bad things happening? It was like we said earlier on. The reason why bad things are happening is because they're always confessing bad things. Paul the weatherman will come on and he'll tell you that it might rain a little bit, but it does look as if it's going to be a sunny day part of the time. And then, I forgot the lady's name, but the lady in the background will say, "Oh, but you always get it wrong, it'll probably rain all day." And I'm sat on the settee, "Will you shut up, you silly woman?" You get what you say sometimes. So these people confess negative things, so it's a good job we watch the television so we can bind her words. And to confess, no, it's not. In fact, it's not going to rain at all. It's going to be a lovely day tomorrow. Unless, of course, I want it to rain and water my garden. That's different. You've just got to pray that you want it fine on the days I want it fine. Right. Verse 8. We've touched on this before. "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you'll be witnesses for me in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utter parts of the world." You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you want power in the light in your life? You need the Holy Ghost. Simple as. Do you want to be a witness? You need the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we can do things and we can say things, and because we've changed, our natural friends notice a difference, don't they? Natural friends that have known you in your bad times recognise a difference when you go into your good times. And you can talk to them about that. But that only lasts for a period of time, because 10 years down the road, you're going to be this good person that's always been this good person for the last 10 years, and nobody remembers the old you. You need his power to be that witness. Because sometimes you have to say things. I'm a firm believer that a lot of the witnessing that you can do, a lot of the best witnessing you can do, is the way that you live your life. We've touched on before how some of the students at school would quote scripture and didn't know they were doing it, because some strange teacher had been quoting scripture at them. And they would quote it back. And it sows seeds in their lives for later, doesn't it? But yet, there are other times that you're remembered for doing the wrong thing. And that's not a place that you want to be in. Well, the Holy Spirit can change that situation as well.
Amen.
You don't have to accept your situation and your circumstances. Because although we change, we need to change, he doesn't change, but he can change us. And he can make us what he's called us to be. He can make us that witness. He can make us into that person that is on fire for him, that will draw others into his kingdom. Go on to the next chapter, chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 2, suddenly. Sometimes God gets you suddenly, doesn't he? You're going on your merry way, thinking your merry thoughts, and then suddenly, it's like, who said that? Or suddenly, ooh. Or you say something, or do something, and suddenly. But isn't it nice that God cares? Isn't it nice that God cares enough? And all that he wants to do is to fill us with his Spirit.
Amen.
Fill our hearts, fill our temple. Our body is his temple. And he wants to fill us. Not just fill us, but fill us to overflowing. So that we might flow with his love towards communities that are without him.
Yeah.
We go on to verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Are your sons and daughters prophesying? Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. It's just told us in the penultimate verse that the sun's going to be turned into darkness, the moon to blood. And the verse before that, bloods and fire and vapours of smoke. Doesn't sound very nice to me. If I said to you, if you'd like to just nip into that room, there's blood and fire and a smell of smoke, would you want to go in there? I wouldn't want to be going in there. And it says that in the last days, that's the sort of thing that we can expect to see. The sun turn into darkness. But who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've got to be saved. We're saved from hell. It's not a place that we hear much spoken about these days. It's all come to Jesus and have all your needs met. All come to Jesus and be prosperous. Come to Jesus and you have a lovely life. No. Come to Jesus, get saved from hell and suffer. Nobody preaches that message, do they? Come to Jesus and struggle to come to terms with the way that you live in. Struggle to come to terms with your old man. Come to terms with your old nature. Struggle to stop your old habits. Struggle to get away from your old friends. They don't preach that. It's come to Jesus and be happy. And sometimes coming to Jesus can be difficult to start off with. Coming to Jesus will cost you. And it'll not just cost you a little, it'll cost you everything. Because you're not your own, you were bought with a price. If I go and buy something from the shop, everything is mine. If I go and buy myself a new handbag and I take it out of the shop, they can't come back and say, oh, can we just have the handle back? No, you can't, because I've paid for that. And when Jesus paid the price for us, he paid for us in our entirety. Didn't pay for just bits of us. He paid for us totally. So everything of mine, everything of me, everything that belongs to me, belongs to him. It's his. Not mine. It's his. But we have a hard time letting go sometimes, don't we? because we want our way, we want our stuff, but it's not ours. But salvation does cover everything. It covers our forgiveness, it covers our healing, covers our deliverance, and sometimes we need some deliverance, don't we? And it covers our needs being met. And the question that occurs here when it says that whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved, you wonder, why would anybody want to go to hell? And yet they turn away the message of God. Oh, I don't believe in all that. Well, if you understand about God and you understand that there is such a place as heaven and hell, and a lot of these people that are not into Christianity believe in heaven and hell. Why would they want to go to hell? If you believe that heaven and hell exist, why would you want to go to hell? Why would you want to do that? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, I think we do too, don't we? The anointing made Jesus effective. It wasn't his education, his appearance, his natural ability, the people he knew. It was the anointing. And we need the anointing, just like Jesus did. In Acts 2:3 we read that the Holy Spirit came as cloven tongues of fire. Now fire will burn good stuff and bad stuff. As we said earlier, metals are purified by going through the fire. And the better the metal, the more fire it's been through. Similarly, if I buy a vase, a pottery vase, we know that if I had bought the pottery vase after the potter had had it on its wheel and taken it off his wheel, if I'd have put some water in the vase and put my flowers in it the next morning, what would have happened to the water? It would have disappeared and the flowers would be dead. The pottery is no good until it's been through the fire. Fire is important, isn't it? Even in our natural lives, things be getting fired up to make them useful is important. My car's not much use till I fire it up. That's a different sort of fire, of course. But we are more useful when we've been through the fire. But it's the fire of God that we need to be going through, not the fire of the enemy. The fire of God that will destroy the sin in our lives. The fire of God that will purify us from habits and attitudes and anything else that might be hindering us from being all that he wants us to be in his kingdom. The enemy doesn't like fire either. The enemy's afraid of fire. Most people are afraid of fire. I was joking the other week in the back about when I was younger. My dad always used to say to me, if I ever catch you with a cigarette, I'll burn you with it. And do you know what? He never caught me. Now that doesn't mean I didn't have a cigarette, because I had quite a few in my time. But he never caught me with it. What was the problem? He wouldn't have shouted at me. My dad used to keep his promises. He probably would have burnt me with it. He probably, only on my fingers, it wouldn't have been a nasty thing. Or he might even have taken it close enough and not actually physically touched me. But the thing is, I knew. And it's the fire that I didn't want to get burned with. Because the fire hurts, doesn't it? And when fire is used inappropriately, it causes damage. But fire, used appropriately, sorts us out. When we're talking about fire, we think about its many purposes. And fire, we use it for cooking, don't we? We use it for all sorts of things. We can use it for warmth. We use it for burning things up that we don't want. Getting rid of rubbish. As we said, it has got many benefits. But I would never get hold of the fire and hold it in my hands, because it's going to make my hands sore. We're not going to get hold of the fire just like this. Fire has to be in a container. And the all fires have different ways of burning. The fire will burn out if it's not fed. We used to have the old coal fires growing up. And if the fire had been burning for a while and you'd had it on most of the day, you'd got the poker out, you'd go and rattle it in there, get some air in it, to bring it back to life again. So you have to disturb the fire sometimes to create a reaction. Do you want God to create a reaction in your life? Stir you up? Sometimes when you were doing this, you'd find a coal would fall out onto the hearth. Now if you left that coal on the hearth, it wasn't very long before it would just die out altogether. But if you threw it back, it lasted a lot longer. Because it was part of the whole lot that was all burning together. And as we burn together for the Holy Spirit, we're going to be more effective than just one or two trying to do it. Because it's going to be more useful. It's going to bring more glory to God. The other thing is, like I say, in the olden days I used to smoke. Went outside for a fag. Get your matches. If it was windy, you could go. So then you get smart. You just and try and get away from the wind. But you see, that match, because there wasn't much flame, it'd blow out easily, wouldn't it? Only a small flame. If you've lit a candle and it's near the window and the window's open, sometimes it'll blow the thing out. And yet the same wind, what does that same wind do with a forest fire? We hear about, in California, how the El Nino, whatever it is, what was it, San something or other winds? They have some winds anyway that come every year, and when those winds blows, they find that it fuels the flames, and so the flames become stronger. So the wind that will blow out some flames actually fuels the fire for other flames. The wind of the Holy Spirit will light your fire. Amen. But do you want your fire to be lit?
Yeah.
We feel sometimes that we're going through the fire a long time. The secret is to get through it.
Yeah.
If I fell in the fire, if there was a big fire in the middle of the room and I went walking down the middle of the room and I fell in the fire, am I just going to lay there?
Yeah.
You bet your life I'm going to jump up quick and get the heck out of there. I'm going to go straight through. And the quickest way is to go through it, not to turn around and come back. Because when you get so far, you have to stop and turn around. If you're going through it, get through it. It's quicker to go through than it is to go back. And yet, as Christians, how many times do we go back? How many times do we go back to what we're familiar with instead of going through to what God has got for us?
Amen.
And God has got more for us than we're aware of sometimes. Like we said earlier, isn't it? It will make you stronger, but it won't kill you. We get purified for a purpose. For the purpose that he's planned for us. And that's the way that we all want to go, isn't it? We want to move forward in his plans and purposes. We ask ourselves, do we want to burn and be refined? Or do we want to be like the chaff and burn forever in an unquenchable fire? If we turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verses 10 to 12. Matthew 3:10-12. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Are you bringing forth good fruit? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's some warnings in there. If you're not bringing forth good fruit, can be hewn down and cast into the fire. It tells us that he will baptise us with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. The fan will fan the flames to life, just as it's going to fan away and winnow the chaff, as it blows the chaff away. The fan can be used for a number of purposes. It gets a little bit scary sometimes, because we've been taught from being kids that God loves everybody, and so he does. And God doesn't want anybody to suffer, and no, he doesn't. And yet, the Bible tells us a different picture, and sometimes we run away from the truth because we want it to be nice. We don't want to offend people, we don't want to scare people, we don't want to hurt people, and that's why the churches are empty. Because we've made it a soft option. Because it's not something that they need to start being concerned about. Being a Christian takes guts. Being a Christian is not an easy life. Being a Christian builds character. Anybody can be an anybody down the street. Anybody can be like everybody else. Doesn't take much to look like your neighbours, act like your neighbours, believe like your neighbours and behave like them. And they might not be doing anything wrong. And yet, it's greater to live like him, like he wants us to live. Because we need to move forward, don't we, into his kingdom. It tells us we are labourers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, 9-13, for we are labourers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build up on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What about your stuff? Will what we've done, being tried by fire, bring glory to God? If the things in my life were tested by fire, would anything be remaining? The gold stuff will be remaining. The silver stuff will be remaining. But what about the hay? What about the paper? What about the wood? If it burns, it's destroyed. And the fire of God purifies us so that what remains in our lives is worth something. We hear about diamonds being created by pressure. If you like diamonds, they've been through some pressure. If you like gold and silver, it's been through some heat. The crux of the message this afternoon is an encouragement to get the fire of God in our lives. To make sure that we fill ourselves, or allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his Holy Spirit on a daily basis, that we might come into his kingdom. Hebrews tells us that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? It's no good knowing it up here. It's in here. And we started off earlier on, in Jeremiah something, we started off earlier on, that you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All your heart. Not just a bit. Not just now and then. Not just when you want something. You search for him with all your heart. Earlier on this year, Matthew 6:33 kept cropping up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen.